We're back. We're potting. We have some news that we have to plug again. If you didn't listen to the last episode, what are we doing June 13th, Emilio? What are we doing?
June 13th, we are hosting a Dewey Dudes party in the basement of Lovely Day, 8 to 11 p.m. The times are a little loose. You know, could go later. Probably will go later. But there will be gift bags, goodie bags. There will be free merch given out. There'll be music. What else can we say?
It'll be a great old time. It'll be great. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, you'll see a lot of former guests there. What else can we expect? I don't know. I'm kind of just waiting for that night to happen and be surprised. That's all.
We'll see. Yeah, once we get that flyer done, we'll start aggressively posting.
What else do we need to catch up on? Anything?
Just gotta you know, let's chat about this podcast episode that you're about to hear. I myself haven't heard it yet. I'm excited to hear it.
Do you want to explain why I had an interview solo this week?
Been juggling a bunch of different things and had a last minute DJ set at Baby's, and a couple days before I was like, you know what, I actually don't remember how to DJ at all. So I had to book some time out at Pirate Studios, and I had sort of a crazy work schedule. I worked like a 8-hour private party on Thursday, had another like 7-hour private party on Saturday. The DJ set was on Sunday, so I was like, all right, I need this Friday to book out a couple hours at Pirate Studios to fucking get ready for the DJ set. So Evan took on this pod solo, and I'm sure he killed it. You want to intro them? You know, you'd mentioned that you weren't...
It felt odd interviewing without you. I'll say that. And I wonder if anybody can catch on, you know, that there's just... Not that it's not a good interview, mm-hmm. but that there's a voice missing.
Yeah, they needed...
And your silence was deafening. yeah, to intro our guests this week, we have a powerhouse podcasting couple from the Chapo Trap House podcasting universe, Catherine Krieger and Will Menaker. And yeah, we just get into their personal care routines. We finally get some kind of beard talk on the podcast. I don't think we've ever actually had someone
beard
with
talk.
A beard.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, Will and Catherine also get into some of the theories as to why the right is short-circuiting when it comes to manliness and reclaiming manhood, masculinity. And then I'm also introduced to the quote-unquote who care mindset. We also talk movies, just a lot of good stuff in there. And yeah. But oh, I did want to mention, because this comes up in the episode and I didn't really have all the tools or info to chat about it, but I'm surprised we haven't talked about it on this show. The Travis Barker Death Liquid, or Liquid Death, right? Is that
Liquid
the name
Death,
of the brand?
Yeah.
Liquid Death?
Right.
The Liquid Death Enema. The Travis Barker Enema. Did you know about this?
No. What is it?
They made, all right, so Travis Barker and Liquid Death partnered to create a fucking, I didn't realize it was a gimmick. I thought they were being serious, but then I went over to the website and watched some of the worst marketing SNL fucking spoofs I've ever seen. And teamed up and they created an enema set for $180, which it's exactly what you think it is. It is an enema bulb in a Liquid Death can signed by Travis Barker, and something you'd probably find at a Spencer's gift shop. But surprisingly, it's sold out. And, you know, it made me think, is it healthy to put sparkling water up your asshole?
Cleaning
out your colon with a seltzer?
Right off the bat, my first impressions are, I would say no, but maybe they're onto something.
I guess we have to buy one. We got to test them out. We got to do a live enema on the pod.
Yeah. We'll see about that. But let's okay. Let's get into the show.
Let's get into the show. All right.
Well, sick. Well, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Let's see how we start this. Every time, do you guys ever feel like when you have the mic in your hand, it's like the first time you're ever doing it again?
You have the mic in your hand a lot.
I'm an old hat at this. No, yeah. Sometimes, like, you know, you hit record and it's like looking at a blank word processor and like the little the cursor is just ticking and you're just like, what the fuck am I gonna do?
Yeah.
Like,
meanwhile, I always know what to do when I have the mic in my hand. You know, I'm just a seasoned pro.
Freestyling, drop some bars.
I've always noticed that the two of you. I'll start off the show by doing a little bit of dick riding. you guys have a particular gift of gab. I'm always kind of impressed. Well, I guess it makes sense for podcasters how good they are at that. But I think whenever I press record, I'm like, God damn, I got to turn it on. which I guess, God damn, the Slack channel.
Oh, the triggering sound.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to just do a quick intro just to let people back in. All right. Welcome back to Dewey Dudes, everybody. Today I am hosting solo. Emilio, my better podcasting half, is out. But I am not alone. I'm joined by a podcasting power couple, Catherine Krieger and Will Menaker.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Welcome to the goddamn show. How are we doing today? What's
on
your mind?
Thank you for having us.
Feeling moisturized. Feeling ready to go. Yeah, I feel like
I've got that natural dew because it's 85 outside.
Is it really 85?
Yeah, it's really hot.
Goddamn.
I've been using the face masks that they give to burn victims. You know, I thought I was going to be on video, so I wanted to be like, you know, totally moisturized. You know, I've been stealing moisturizers from the burn units at hospitals. And, you know, I think I'm looking pretty good.
Yeah, the moneymaker's looking great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Usually how we open the show is, we start off with the first segment, which is, you know, drop the routine. You know, I imagine all the wear and tear that goes into building a podcasting empire.
Mm.
You know, money got taller, money got longer. you know, I'm sure now that you guys are very into the entertainment scene, you guys have to humor the vanity a little bit. So let's start there. Let's hear, you know, how do we turn ourselves into Catherine Krieger? How do we turn ourselves into Will Menaker?
Every
morning, every night, get ready for the day.
Oh, man.
To jump on the Zoom, to press record. How do we do it?
You know what they say, more money, more skincare problems.
Do you want to start with your routine?
Well, I mean, my routine
it's a short routine.
Yeah, my routine is pretty. I don't really have like a morning routine. You know, I just sort of get up and start my day. But like my skincare routine is like I got to moisturize when I get out of the shower because you know like
he's a dry boy.
Yeah, because my skin will get pretty dry. I have like some sort of Korean face moisturizer that Catherine put me onto.
I brought that to the family.
But I feel like they've just changed the formula or something, and it like doesn't like.
You hate that?
Yeah, they changed the formula now that like doesn't sort of I don't know melt into my skin quite as moisturizing.
It's Etude's Moistful Collagen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
you can get that on Amazon.
Yeah, I think they screwed up the collagen though. I think they're not putting enough foreskins in the face cream anymore. So I don't know. I'm not going to like
bring back the placenta.
Yeah, you know, like until they bring back the foreskins, that's sort of like I drank from the wrong grail at the end of the Last Crusade. That's sort of what I feel like. But also, you know, that's just like the skin part of my face, the hair part of my face that needs upkeep too.
Which is so, most of your face.
Yeah, most of my face is hair. So I've gotten like some products from the Detroit Grooming Company. It's a company about, you know, you basically, it started out as a company where they basically were attempting to molest kids at Red Wings games.
And that's, oh my God.
No, I'm just kidding. No, they have some nice beard products. I got a beard wash, a beard conditioner, beard oil, and beard balm.
Is this something you sought out on your own? Or,
yeah.
I mean, I was always curious, do you attract any PR packages?
Oh,
are you in
God,
the space?
I wish.
Are you in the influencer space?
No, I
guarantee he found it the way he finds almost every product, which is it was advertised to him on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm real. It's a real sucker. Oh, yeah.
What's the Explore page looking like these days?
It's like my Instagram Explore page is 90% like animals being friends with each other, and then not 90%, actually quite a fair bit of cooking content on there. Okay, like, right. You know, like there's a lot of content of like people who grill outside, like in the wilderness, and they're throwing like a tomahawk steak on like a campfire, stuff like that.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure is that the safe answer with the girlfriend and then
all the porn stars.
Of course.
Oh yeah. I just, like, you know, I give Will a lot of shit about this. I'll like end up on a porn star's page, and it'll just say Cody Dead 420 like already liked all these photos. I know. So he tells on himself that way.
Well, maybe just leaving little breadcrumbs, you know.
Yeah, I know. It feels like a little scavenger hunt. Like this was left for me to find.
All right, so we're done with the beard. All right, what else? What else are we doing? Are we? Do you use sunscreen?
I use sunscreen if I'm going to like be outside in the summer for any like extended period of time, but like thankfully I mostly don't do that. So my number one skincare tip is avoiding the sun at all costs. And you know, like I think it's worked out for me so far, except for the vitamin D deficiency. But other than that, it's going great.
Cold brew. Start every morning with cold brew.
Here's a little coffee hack for you. If you put a little horchata on top of your morning cold brew, take it from the coffee boss, Will Menaker. That's a tasty treat to start your day.
I'm not a horchata fan myself, but...
You know, I haven't had horchata maybe for years, although I do know they have the rum-infused version you can pick up at your local
rum-chata. Oh, man.
I'm thinking that's the way you start, with a little bit of an aperitif, if you
will. I think I had rum-chata before I actually had horchata, because I'm from the Midwest, so horchata's a little like too
here.
Spicy for me, a little too, sure. Too
like,
feisty.
You're like, I don't like whores.
No, I love whores. That's well documented.
Any other routine related items in your day to day? Are we popping pills? Are we engaging with maybe a fun little Travis Barker enema that he released recently? Mm. Are we?
Yeah, Travis Barker has an enema.
He's got an enema.
Yeah,
yeah. He got an enema. He partnered with
limited edition.
Who the fuck did he partner with? But I just didn't know the boys.
Oh,
were
Liquid
doing that.
Death.
Liquid Death. Yeah, yeah. It has a Liquid Death.
Yeah,
enema,
if you want
yeah.
like you know, bubbly water up your anus. Isn't Liquid Death carbonated?
I think
there's carbonated and non-carbonated versions of Liquid Death.
Well,
but you know, I want the bubbly stuff up my ass.
Scrubbing bubbles.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously an important part of the morning routine, you know, got to take a deuce, you know? And
yeah, in which order? All right, so which order? Is that the first thing? Are we doing, is it after horchata coffee?
Yeah, coffee first, sure. And about, like, you know, I'm regular as hell. I'm like a Swiss clock. It's like, it's probably...
You heard it here first,
it's
folks.
It's probably the best part of my health in general is my shitting. I'm very proud of that. And then from there, it's just sort of like, well, do I have anything to do today? And if the answer is no, then I start my smoking weed routine, probably around, you know,
it's a real routine.
1 or 2 o'clock.
That drives the business.
I don't know. Do I have any other routines, Catherine?
And then just, you know, you record, you smoke weed, and then it's like, you know, it gets on to dinner time. Our routine is, you know, just forlornly scrolling DoorDash yet again, being like, hey, what do we want to waste $100 on that's not going to be good?
It's not New York unless you're spending $100 a day.
I know, just to like leave your apartment, and then smoking weed again while we watch our stories. He's the weed guy, though. I have too many thoughts already.
Got it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What about you, Catherine? What are we? All right, let's hear the lineup. Let's
all
hear
right. Okay.
The top shelf.
So you know, I've used basically everything at this point, but I've really like made a concerted effort to kind of like dial things back, mostly because I think I was just doing too much. So I love the, what's the brand? It's Corsarex. Yeah. It's, I always say the name wrong, but it's their Good Morning, like low pH cleanser. I used to use that morning and night, but I'm basically just like that kind of splash your face. Especially as we transition into summer life. Cause otherwise I think I get dried out and then I get oily.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, my beefier routine is definitely like evening. I'll do a double cleanse if I've been wearing makeup that day. You know, use the, what is it? The Clean It Balm. I think it's also K-Beauty. Clean It Zero.
Are you big like a SoCo Glam gal?
Oh, I do like SoCo Glam.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a place called 0035?
Oh, yeah.
Millimeter?
Damn. Yeah.
She's down in Chinatown.
I know. I need to actually like go check out the physical location. I've only like...
Oh, it's small. It's great, though.
Yeah. Highly curated, I've heard.
What's
the
stuff you put on your face that smells bad?
Okay, so that's the Biologique Recherche.
Biologique Recherche? Recherche. French-ash...
Very
French
good.
It kind of smells like chocolate a little bit.
Oh, he.
That's not what it smells like.
or like a morgue, maybe.
Yeah. Definitely feels like I shouldn't have smoked that shit. Now I'm rubbing acid on my face. I'm a big P50 head.
Getting treatments at Rescue Spa.
Oh, I wish. I actually haven't seen my. It sounds embarrassing to say my facialist, but I like really love this woman. Her name is Callie Strauss. She has a little like studio called Perlita.
Yeah,
she's great.
Okay. Nothing embarrassing about that. That's family.
Yeah. This is another hot tip. I'm a big chemical exfoliator, much to Will's chagrin. And then, you know, like a nice sleeping mask, a little Laneige.
Oh, yes.
The water mask, or what else do I like to use? Oh, I'm on that dew tip. I like their Instant Angel in the winter.
The other dew. Shout out to Marta.
To Marta
in Charlotte. Yeah,
they've been on the pod.
They've been on the pod. You know, we went skincare heavy with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun to get like an array of guests.
Because
I think it's actually really kind of baffling because it's like I kind of really don't have like my own routine like outside of skincare, and sometimes I just don't even do it.
Right.
But it is curious to like understand. If people live their lives as chaotically as I do,
yeah,
where it's just like raw dogging every morning,
raw dogging reality,
you know, going out, staying until 4 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
coming home, but still engaging with, you know, how they have to look the next morning. But.
Yeah. I now have to be in the office. So like, I'll just stay up till 6 a.m. sometimes. And then I have to do those, you know, like the snail. I also love like the snail mucin stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Need those like under my eyes. I'm really good at the turn your face from dead body into semi-presentable thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into those like Amazon poison arrow frogs. You just take a you just take a little bit of them, you just dab it under the eyes, and like it's poison, very deadly if you lick it, and also hallucinogenic. But you know, it does wonders for your face. They'll take years off your life, literally.
The hallucinogenic part sounds like a selling point.
I think between that or like putting, I know people do put Preparation H under their eyes.
I've heard that.
To reduce the puffiness, you know.
And like reduce redness also.
Redness. Zoomers love to put Burt's Bees under their eyes.
Because it's like kind of stingy?
Yeah, it stings. You know, they're trying to feel something.
Yeah.
You know?
Relatable. I don't need to feel it under my eyes though, you know.
Sure.
What should I be adding? Like, what should I add to my morning routine?
Well, I think, brother, all you need is really sunscreen. That's it.
Sunscreen.
Yeah.
Sunscreen.
Okay. I think a sunscreen with a moisture. Well, you're already moisturizing, but you know, I don't. Sounds like you're not washing your face.
I would like, but no.
There are worse things in life than not washing your face.
Yes,
I'll say that.
But the SPF is like a necessity, and you know.
But
real,
I don't know if you care. The thing is, I always ask this too. You know,
right.
Some people come on, they're like, I don't give a fuck about this.
Right.
It's like how much do you care about your physical
appearance? Well, I mean, it's...
That's a real existential question.
It's an existential...
How much do you feel about your husk of a being? earthly husk?
You know, I mean, like, yeah, it is an existential question because it's sort of like... It's a push and pull between my laziness and vanity because, like, you know... most of the time I'd rather not think about it, but then if I notice, like, that I feel ugly or something, then I'm like, oh, I got to change everything. But, yeah...
I don't know.
Do you feel like you think about it more as you be as you became more of a public figure?
Yeah, sometimes I'll see my face like in a photo or like yeah, like,
or people will point out that your face looks some kind of way online. Yeah. Always
No one has ever gotten to me. I'm untouchable.
So that's true. That's true. Yeah, you can't get to them.
I don't know. I mean, my problem with suntan lotion or an SPF of some kind is like it always leaves sort of like a sheen of white, you know. They don't sort of like just blend into my face. Right. Like
the dreaded white cast.
Yeah. Oh, you know. Well, there's a brand called Dr. Loretta.
Mm. Okay.
No cast at all.
Yeah.
I have to gift you some of that, but
yeah, seriously, send the PR packages our way.
Yeah, I'll send them straight to your DMs. You guys can be on the list. You guys can be gifted nothing but goops and cremes.
Thank you. I do love a good goop. Getting gooped up on my face.
You love to get gooped.
You know, I was going to say on your show recently, you know, you guys do sometimes get into like wellness, you know, consumerist identities.
We just did.
Yeah. You know, and as it relates to kind of like the current, I guess, like quote unquote masculinity panic, you know, I was wondering what are some of the forces behind all of our new cults of our new personalities behind the masculinity panic, and why are some people short circuiting on this in trying to reclaim manhood?
Mm. I think it's because I view it as like in all of this sort of like ongoing and cascading gender panics about masculinity and femininity. And, you know, like trans issues is, I think, like, you know, I imagine what it was like for me growing up, and I think it's probably like a billion times worse today. It's like the thought of like coming into adolescence or young adulthood and like the expectations of masculinity or femininity and the performance of them, I think leads people to like, I think it's really frightening. And I think it seems like, I don't know, like anything to either avoid the burdens of that or like, you know, going the opposite direction, impose like a psychotic level of control over them that you can kind of like, I don't know, through like, you know, tanning your balls or only eating meat or retaining your cum, never jacking off, retaining seed. It's like through like discipline of the body or like, you know, quack diets and like, you know, like hokum medical advice or whatever. I think it's like a way that like that people think that they can like, I don't know, hack or
humanity.
Yeah, hack humanity, or just sort of like if you could if you can control all of the inputs, then you can like, you know, predict the outputs. And I think it's a way of like asserting control over an increasingly what seems to be, certainly as you get into adulthood, like the unpredictable, uncontrollable nature of just this catastrophe of being alive. And so like, I mean, in some senses I'm very sympathetic with it, but then in others I think that's like driving people insane.
What do you are there any practices that you might endorse? Say if you know, you yourself had to come out in as a, you know, a budding personality in the manosphere, what are some of the practices that you would subscribe to the fellas?
I don't know. I would say like just like work on just cultivating like learning how to credit your own taste, and
that's good,
like,
advice.
Like learning how to credit your own taste and like having a confidence in the things that you like or that work for you. And, you know, I mean, like, I'm not one to tell anyone to work out because, you know, I don't do that, but it couldn't hurt, you know, it couldn't hurt to go for a jog. And you know, because I do it, I'd say, like if you're worrying about food, like learning how to cook is a very good, useful skill to have. And I'm not saying it like, cause you can like, it's some need to like control every aspect of your nutrition, but I think like I think just like having like a basic competence with like ingredients and like methods of preparing food, I think is a good skill to have.
Everything just feels so much more complicated now. Like, you know, when I was coming up, it was just like, you know, as a woman, you either have an eating disorder or I guess you can cut, you know, and worst case scenario, I guess you do both. But you obviously like also have to point out that it's like, you know, not to get too serious, but like it's a moment of unprecedented kind of like wealth inequality, all of these economic forces. You know, like if you're a Zoomer, if you're someone coming up, I also think you're terrified about becoming who you'll become and like how you fit into society. Because like the social promise of someday you're going to like get a job that fulfills you. Someday you're going to be able to afford to have a kid or like own a house. Like all of that has been totally stripped away. So what we're left with are like deeply atomized people who, you know, not only like don't relate to any like kind of social identity about like community, right? Like, but also don't relate to like any, you know, kind of broader understanding of like what it means to, to be like, a man or a woman or, you know, non-binary, whatever.
And back to the manosphere, I think it's like I said, like this it's trying to assert control. And like, it's trying to create a masculinity for yourself in the absence of like any kind of community or male role models in your life, or like even just a group of male friends. And you know, like I'm always astounded by
people don't have friends anymore.
Well, yeah, I'm always astounded by like the people who are just looking for a new dad on the internet. And it's like whether it's, you know, like Jordan Peterson or Andrew Tate. And I suppose there are like, you know, maybe, I mean, I don't know, like the people demand that of us sometimes about being, or not demand it, but like there's an expectation
they're
of
looking
like,
towards you.
Of like positive like masculine role models, and I'm just like, I don't know, like do you need a new dad or something? And I guess people do. I mean, I don't know, like I guess that's the case. But I think it's like it is hard to figure out like or be comfortable with like the person who you're going to become or your or this idea of yourself as a man, like alone by yourself, just looking at like a box in your lap or in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, I think about again, this kind of goes to what you were saying, Catherine, about like there really is like no hope for the future. And I know that's a really trite thing to say.
Yeah.
And it is wild to me how much there's like, it feels like people are more afraid of aging than ever. I don't know if this is just because I'm like just getting older as a young adult, but like there's a weird cognitive dissonance of like knowing there's no future, but at the same time, also people are like really like afraid of dying, but wanting to die all the time.
Yeah.
But they're, I feel like you see this in celebrities too, where they're, I think they're just like, there's a huge fear of aging these days. And I'm trying to wonder, or we're always asking our guests like where that's coming from, because as we say on this show, aging is the new cancer. And,
that's funny. I like that.
I mean, the two go hand in hand.
But I just don't understand it. It's like, what are we so afraid of? Maybe it's because of what you're saying is because there used to be like, you could look forward to getting older, but
now. Well, like life sucks more than ever, I think. Well, or, you know, not like in a global sense, like I like my life. I think life is generally good and it's preferable. Let's get really heavy. It's preferable to the alternative.
Sure.
But yeah, I think like that's where, you know, on a psychic level, the fear is coming from, like being so afraid of dying because you're afraid you haven't lived.
Yeah, exactly. I think like the number one fear of death is like FOMO.
Absolutely.
You know, and like that's what people fear about dying. And I think like, you know, if you feel in control of your life, or you feel like that you've like, you feel happy with the person you are, and like the, you know, like when you wake up in the morning, you don't want to like jump out a window. I think it's just like, if you're worried that you've never achieved the things that you thought you were going to as a kid, or that you think the people around you have achieved for themselves.
Or tried to go for them either.
Yeah. And then I think like the fundamental like unknowability and like uncontrollability of the world becomes like deeply terrifying. And like death is like the number one thing in life that no one's in control of, really. I mean, like you can exercise and like, you know, try to be healthy or like avoid the things that you think are going to kill you, but you know, like disaster stalks everyone. It's out there.
That's not much of a life.
Yeah. And like, and I think like with COVID too, I think it just scrambles people's brains, especially Americans who have this like psychotic need, like I said, to control everything. And that like, and also that like good and bad moral choices like sort of add up, like someone's keeping tabs on those, that'll add up in a way that like you'll be rewarded or punished. And to see oftentimes that people are rewarded or punished completely independent of the things they say and do.
Indiscriminately.
Just totally indiscriminately. I think that really fucks with people and they feel cheated in some way.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of that reoccurring meme once in a while where you kind of have to roll your eyes where you see somebody like, you know, touting some celebrity sicko, and then just saying, you know, or either they look really good, maybe someone who isn't as scandalous as others, and saying like, damn, there's a reason why they look this way because they're unproblematic. But
how I felt when I saw a picture of Henry Kissinger recently. that man's looking good. or Dianne Feinstein.
Do you guys think about? Do you guys? Oh god damn, yeah. Man, do you think? All right. Speaking of Diane Feinstein. Is it Feinstein or is it Feinstein?
I say Feinstein. I use both. It's not for me to say.
Well, I know, you know, look, the reason why I enjoy tuning into Chapo is, you know, you guys don't take any, you're not shy about commenting on political figures and their appearances. And I guess I thought it'd be fun to ask you who in that space has got the best work done?
Oh, Nancy Pelosi.
Oh.
Yeah.
With the
she's definitely gotten like a blef
stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's worthy of debate, like whether
Joe Biden has really good work.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, because he's got a couple facelifts at this point. Yeah. And like, if it were, you know, I think he looks like shit. But I
mean, no, he looks way better than someone his age should look.
Yeah.
He looks way like he doesn't sound or appear that way when he's speaking.
Unfortunately, you can't get a facelift. I mean, for honestly, your mind.
Like, it's Joe Biden's like the strongest thing he has going for him is that he is, like, in my opinion, like a. For someone who's 80 plus years old, like, seems fairly handsome and, like, you know, healthy.
You heard it here first. Will Menaker says Joe Biden handsome.
I mean, not his brain. You can only do so much there, but, like, his appearance, like, whatever work he's had done, I think is really working for him.
There's a pleasing nature, you know, like, to be a national politician, you have to, like, you know, there has to be something pleasing about your face, or at least just doesn't announce itself as unpleasant.
Sure.
He's old in like, a pleasing way, where you imagine, like,
that's how you want your
grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Like, there's some, like, he's the grandpa that you're excited to go visit, and not kind of, like, nervous because his house smells weird. And,
right.
Or age aside, someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who just looks like busted.
She looks like Ron Perlman.
She does. True.
Well, I feel like it's kind of all right. So it's funny because I feel like Trump is, you know, he's not exactly the same age, but he's in the same bracket. But it looks like he almost got like taxidermied.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
His work is bad.
And so you think it's bad? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas, like, all right, Biden, right? It's like you can tell my man's on his way out, but he's doing it very. He's keeping up to date with
whatever drugs and routine that they've got him on that the CIA.
I mean, what do you think they have him on? What do you think? How do they get
adrenochrome?
Adrenochrome.
We've been talking about this on the show recently. I think it's like a mix. We've concluded it's a mix of like
Vyvanse
and Percocet, like a nice like upper end downer to keep you sort of
balanced,
leveled out. Yeah,
that's a lifestyle I can endorse. Wait, so you think Trump's work is good?
No, I did not say that.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I really don't think about Trump's face that much. Mm-hmm. I think when a new image drops on the internet where he's wearing a beanie, I'm like, that looks cute.
Yeah.
Or when, you know, he's making faces, but, I think because what you just said there is that to be a political figure and be successful at it, there has to be something like aesthetically pleasing going on. And I'm wondering what his juice is. You know what I mean? Outside of him being the icon he is. But if there's anything that just kind of draws your eye to him outside of, like, because it's like all of it's all really trite now, the hair,
right?
But there's something going on there.
I think he has his own special like brand of swag, and if the Democrats could bottle his swag and douse themselves in it, like the Trump swag, I think is like, it's, you know, a swagger that is divorced from like how men are supposed to look. Like,
sure.
I think it's, you know, like he looks kind of gay. He's got that stupid.
Bouffant hair.
Yeah, he's got the bouffant hair. He's got, like, you know, his eyes, like, they put on, you know, one size too big goggles for the spray tan. Like, I don't think he looks like what we're supposed to view as traditional masculinity, but somehow it works for him.
Well, because I feel like, and I think maybe you said this on your show, is that, you know, it's because you're not trying to come off as masculine.
Right.
Yeah. End up just, that seems like a masculine trait.
He's
in
like
general.
Camp.
Because, like, keep in mind about Trump, there are probably, like, half the women in the state of Florida would fuck him, like, this second. Like, he is their dream. He is a dream boat to, like, a certain percentage of, like, the U.S. female population over the age of 50.
Who also look busted.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. Like, I think about Donald Trump, like you said, like, the fact that he is this, like, he's so queeny and, like, just his mannerisms and appearance are, like, sort of, like, he is, like, this, like, old woman, basically.
Yeah.
But I always think about, like that in terms of, like pimps. Who, like, you know, like, like straighten their hair and wear a ton of jewelry and are just like have like long fingernails and like all kinds of rings and stuff like that. There's like to catch a bitch eye, you have to be to
there's
break
a flamboyance.
Yeah. You have to be better dressed and like have more jewelry and makeup than the woman that you're trying to impress. And like especially when you are at the same time politically associated as an avatar of like alpha male traditional American masculinity, but you have this like very fruity affect and like sure. style along with you. I think that like that's a really powerful potent mix. I think that attracts
a lot
of women.
You should wear a pinky ring.
Yeah,
he should wear a pinky ring.
Yeah, doesn't that seem fitting?
Well, it's funny too because I feel like you know being online being so online, I feel like that works for Trump, but for whatever reason, I think sometimes the fellas who lean into it a little bit too much, mm-hmm. there's a bit of a pushback.
Yeah.
You know? Something we ask on this show a lot is, you know, how, not just an appearance, because I feel like, all right, so I feel like women do, all right, generalizing here, there is like, because they have to engage with a certain type of coastal man, there is like a fantasy of having like, you know, that Midwestern guy who knows how to fucking like, you know, knows how to use tools,
mm-hmm.
has like 50 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
Is not engaged.
Keep looking, honey.
Yeah. Hasn't seen all the posts.
Call me.
You know, like, but we're trying to figure out, you know, for our listeners, for the people who tune into the show, you know, because everyone's looking for their big brother, looking for daddy. Mm-hmm. How should the fellas be online? Like, what is a top tier male posting behavior, replying behavior? How can we help? How can we help him?
Well, Will got onto one, and then I'll defer to him because you know he's a male poster. But Will was hinting at one earlier, which I think is never appear mad online and mostly don't reply.
Yeah, no, I would say like I imbibe the lessons from my online Jordan Peterson, Big Dave. Ex Malwa, you may know him, but Big Dave was the at a very crucial time. He was the pioneer of the hashtag Who Care movement, and I think Who Care
very powerful.
I think Who Care is the attitude to have your post not be annoying. And I mean, I know I you know started out and you know reached a certain level of success by engaging in the discourse, but like I don't know, for years now like I have lost all appetite for doing that. Like I don't want to argue with anyone. I don't want to like
say.
I'm not saying like I don't engage in like politics or like I'll do it if I think like a joke is there or if I really care about something, but for the most part I just like trying to just like post about the shit that I like. I just want to like have fun with my friends. I just want to see my friends online, and I don't want to argue with anyone, and I don't want to have to weigh in when like everyone is drinking out of the same toilet bowl and everyone's got to rush in like, hey, like I think mass shootings are bad. And
yeah,
you know, like yeah.
You just know those days on Twitter where it's like, oh, like someone like once got mad at Chapo. We were like, this was, you know, pandemic. We were upstate and like, you know, someone had just been killed by the cops and uh-huh. people were like tweeting Chapo being like pretty fucked up that they haven't like registered, you know, their dismay at this or, you know, I hope I'm not breaking news here, but it was just like, you know, like at some point, I think like everyone gets this kind of posting disease, especially if they're trying to like be someone online where they feel like they're accountable to a public.
Sure. There's this like invisible ombudsman in their head that like some public editor.
Or, you know, like accountable to a public in terms of like a bad thing has happened or, you know, the Supreme Court did this or like everyone hates the new Jonathan Chait thing. And if I haven't like had my say about it online, people are going to be thinking like I'm out of touch. Or also like, you know, I see a lot of people like not even with that many followers, like kind of like think that they're accountable in the sense of like needing to apologize or like
yeah, you're not the governor. You don't need to issue a public statement.
Yeah. Yeah. Like literally like, yeah, kind of public statement.
I always felt like that's kind of like, you know, not to give anybody any tactics, but like I always felt like apologizing is kind of
Never apologize.
Yeah,
never retreat. Apologize. Never apologize.
I mean, even if you're wrong, don't do it.
No,
just
don't
do it. Yeah, because I think it's just like you're never going to please anyone. I mean, sure, maybe there are times, you know, I have no idea. I haven't been in a position
never defend
like this
yourself either.
Never. No, let others come to your aid.
Yes. Defending yourself is almost akin to an apology, because you're just showing people that, like, there's a chink in your armor. You know, you're seeing that
you're being affected. Yeah.
Yeah. You're seeing that, like, you have. Yeah. You're seeing that you have seen people being mad at you. And even if you're not letting on, like, oh, this is getting to me, you know, there's something about it that conveys, like, oh, your people's critiques matter and I need to respond to them.
Yeah.
And that is why who care is, like, you need to. That's a question you need to ask yourself before posting anything. And if the answer is, like, I mean, look, if you care about it, like, I'm not trying to censor anyone. I believe in free speech above all.
University of Austin over here.
But yeah, like, no, I think it's good to, like, temper yourself by posing the question, who care? And the answer is
mostly no one.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair enough. Well, hey, I've been enjoying listening to Movie Mindset lately.
Oh, thank you.
And you know, I think, well, this kind of, like, all right, I have a couple things I want to either ask or say here, because what in kind of, like, growing up and creating the show and years of just, like, success and, like, kind of being really disengaged with the discourse, you know, you're kind of like, obviously you want to start doing new things, right? Mm-hmm. You want to, like, create, like, new extensions of the universe, and so, like, I feel like I'm kind of there. Well, not entirely there with this show, but, like, yeah, you have other interests. You have other things that you kind of want to bring to the table. Movie Mindset being one of those. But as I have you two here, because I thought it'd be fun. Yeah, what would be a good double feature exploring, you know, aging as the new cancer, anything related to wellness, like what are, because I'm trying to figure out what those movies are. How maybe we're going to tie it into our show?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I will say, the last movie I saw recently, not about aging, I saw Sick of Myself,
and it is. Oh, I've heard that's great.
It's a movie about a worsening skin condition, but not a single skincare product was mentioned, and so I can't use that one. So I'm trying to figure out what's out there. And maybe we should explain what Movie Mindset is to our listeners.
Yeah,
you want to plug your show?
Oh, well, yeah. Like, Movie Mindset is a new miniseries I'm doing with Hessa from Seeking Derangements. It's like we've recorded 7 episodes. It's going to be, like, the first season is going to be 10 episodes, and I hope to bring it back in the fall for Halloween for doing some horror movies. But basically, Movie Mindset is just, like, you know, like, I've always loved doing movie episodes on the show, but, like, we're doing the movie episodes on the show, it's always a movie that we're going to make fun of. And I guess for me, like, the challenge is someone who, you know, has a sneering, ironic contempt for everyone and everything in the world is, like, can I be funny, and can I, like, you know, fill the hours on mic,
right,
talking about art that I think is really good and really important and really does matter to me. So it's sort of like a check on, like, you know, putting up or shutting up about, like, you know, like, I talking about movies as much as I do and relating so much of my life back to things in movies. Like, you know, like, this is my sort of, like, I don't want to, like, say, like, film school, because, like, that's a mistake for anyone involved. But no, I mean, this is just like some of the art that's, like, really shaped my life and that matters to me. And it's sort of like a primer of, like, either, like, you're already into movies and, like, you know, like any podcast, it's just about the personality of the people who are talking. But, like, if you'd like to sort of follow my path about how I became a movie sicko, this is sort of like my sort of tour guide through my inner self. So I wanted to open up a little bit and, yeah, like, talk about art that's meaningful to me and that's not, like, not, I don't enjoy talking about it because it's funny to make fun of, but, like, something that I think is actually, like, really important and means a lot to me and hopefully other people as well.
I was considering your question very carefully.
Let's hear it. What movies do you have on deck?
All I'm coming up with is maybe, like, Death Becomes Her.
Is that the one with Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn, Bruce Willis.
Yeah, but that's not a skincare product. They drink, like, a little potion.
Well, yeah, it's adrenochrome.
Yeah, truly. And, like, you know, they're women of a certain age.
Sure.
And their foil is Isabella Rossellini.
Oh, yeah.
You know, at peak hotness, although she still looks great.
She does.
I'm trying to, I'm having a hard time. What other good aging movies are there?
When I think about movies about, like, aging, I think about, I don't know, I talk about film school 101. Ozu's Tokyo Story is, like, a movie that if you've ever studied film, like, you've probably come across Tokyo Story or the works of Ozu. And, you know, it's a movie about, like, a an elderly couple who takes a trip to Tokyo to visit their kids, and it's a very melancholy, like, sad movie about old people. I also think of David Lynch's The Straight Story with Richard Farnsworth. That's about an old man who drives a lawnmower across country. But then I'm thinking, I don't know, like, just off the top of my head, thinking about, like, wellness. I'm just thinking about Cronenberg's latest movie, Crimes of the Future, which is about not wellness. And, like, you know, like, struggling to eat and sleep, and as, like, you know, our bodies become colonized by microplastics, well, and, like,
kind of like the always be optimizing in a, yeah, in a bodily sense, and also controlling your biology.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any others that come to mind?
I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to think for myself.
Yeah, I can come up with, like, you know, women aging mortality movies.
Sure.
Man,
I'm thinking about the skincare treatment in Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
You know, I've never seen that. There was a sequence of that.
Like, literally, like, pulled, like, like Laffy Taffy.
Oh, well, that's skincare for you. That's a possible tie-in.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe, like, Alexander Payne movies. Those are about old guys.
In Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska.
That's a fun, cheery movie about getting old.
All right. Well, thank you for answering some of these questions. I would like to close off the show with some segments, if you guys will humor me.
Hit us.
All right. So the first segment is called Dewey Rude, the segment in which you get to address all your haters, or you yourself can be a hater, whether it is directed at someone personally, something culturally, how you want to interpret it is up to you two. Let's hear it.
You take it. You're the hater.
Who am I hating on these days? I'm hating on anyone who is expanding cruelty, injustice, and hatred in the world. No, I don't know.
Well, obviously.
I'm hitting on Elon Musk's new CEO of Twitter, Linda Yaccarino, in the World Economic Forum. I thought Twitter was based now, but it turns out it's woke. And Linda Yaccarino in the World Economic Forum, the cat turd free speech army is coming for you.
I have no idea who that is.
Cat turd too. It's a Don't investigate.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't know, this is just what I saw when I woke up this morning.
He's a big Elon Musk, like, booster on Twitter.
No, I mean, it's played out, but I really can't stand that motherfucker. Like, I hate seeing his stupid face. I hate hearing his thoughts about anything.
Sure.
I hate Teslas. I think.
But do you think there'll ever be a point where eventually, like, he'll lose all favor with, like, the mass public to the point where, like, for example, friend of the show, Jonah from Blackbird Spy Plane, commented on...
I love Blackbird Spy Plane.
He commented on how you know, normies are getting around to hating on Bono, so therefore Bono is cool again. Do you think Elon Musk will have the effect at some point? Where you could become endeared to him in a little bit?
I sure hope not.
No. And Bono is not cool again. I don't know about this Blackbird Spy Plane person, but Bono is not...
They're good. They're good. Yeah,
okay.
Man, who am I beefing with? Do you know who I'm beefing with?
Did someone say something to you recently? Do you have?
Oh man,
do you want to air it out? This is
I'm seeming like such a peace, not hate person.
Yeah. Oh, I was wondering. All right, because I feel like you talk about topics a lot. You talk around things. Do you guys ever get nervous coming onto a show where you're asked about the personal details of your lives?
Not really.
No?
Yeah, I guess I would never say write a personal essay. So, you know, I guess I feel insulated in that way. But, you know, dropping the skincare routine feels harmless.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you feel like anything would be used against you?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, like, you know, and this is, you know, I'm not fucking Bono. So, like, you know, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But, like, Will and I have talked about, like, you know, he's stopped kind of posting photos of, like, me or even, like, our cats, like, on Twitter, because people, you know, and it's like, it's a tired meme format, but there's, like, something to it where, like, I remember this was a while back, but it, like, you know, it didn't get under my skin, actually. But, you know, someone was like, we had just moved in together and, like, we had posted, I don't know, something. The upshot was we got a new couch. And so people were, like, seizing on that, like, oh, yep, Chapo. Oh, you're a socialist, but you bought a new couch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, what could a couch cost? $2 million? You know, it was just like stuff like that. Or yeah.
You got to issue an apology.
Yeah, truly. Sorry for the Joybird couch, I guess.
Sorry for being like really good at making money.
Yeah. It's a marketplace, I guess. I hate people who like try and like kind of try and get you out at like being a bad socialist or something.
Sure.
Yeah, that sucks. And people also love to do that about like, oh, you pay rent and you're a socialist. What's like, well, I live in New York City.
Wait, what's the alternative? I mean, like other than owning property, like what, like, but like, I thought that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing.
Well,
right?
It's bad to own property if you're a landlord, but sure. You know, what we should all be doing as, you know, perfect leftists is moving to the commune and using our skills as a graphic designer or, you know, as a social media poster to, I don't know, become farmers.
Well, I didn't know there's like I guess those, that like community with those kind of views were like still within the listenership. You know what I mean?
I don't know if they even have those views or not. I just think it's like any excuse.
It's just trolling.
Just any excuse to catch someone out, or even if like they think they're being funny, but it's just annoying.
Yeah, people trying to riff unsuccessfully.
Yeah, that's who I have beef with.
Yeah, that's who I have beef with, unfortunately. Yeah, someone once commented on one of our like Instagram photos of us just like being lovely in the country. Like, oh, you guys are like Ghislaine and Bill Clinton or something.
Yeah. And I like,
and I was just like clearly someone who's like a fan of Chapo and like trying to like be overly familiar. But it was like, so what was the vision here?
Sure.
You know, like what was the joke that we're chomos? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's who I have beef with.
All right, damn, that's beef right there. All right. Another segment. Dude of the week. You know, anybody on your mind? It could be a character. I mean, I know we already mentioned new CEO, but anybody you want to either shout out.
I got two dudes of the week. Well, two dudes on my mind that I want to pick up right now.
Yo, fellas, is it gay to have a dude of the week?
Yes, is the answer to that question. I've got two. All right, my first dude of the week is...
He's ready.
My first dude of the week is that dude, Jalen Brunson, point guard of the New York Knicks.
Woo!
38 points, 48 minutes, heroic performance to keep the Knicks from being eliminated in Madison Square Garden. I've been watching the NBA playoffs. I'm thrilled that the Knicks have made a run in the playoffs, knock on wood.
Sure.
But no, Jalen Brunson is the guy who I'm bigging up right now. And my second dude of the week, equally impressive New Yorker, a legend. It's ADA Barba from Law and Order Special Victims Unit, played by Raul Esparza. Catherine and I, we're big Barba heads.
Yeah.
We just, I love Barba. I want more Barba. Folks, Barba. He's been very unfair to me in the civil trial, but he's part of the special victims. They're not so special anymore.
Yeah,
I brought
SVU into our lives.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
Like having started watching it as a child, like way too young, like as a family show. And so now Will and I are redacted seasons into.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
You know, I never got on that.
It's such easy viewing, you know? It's just like, yeah.
I'm learning that because I caught the bug. I caught the curiosity. I have been watching The Good Doctor.
Oh, yeah, that's the dude of the week. Dr. Han is having a huge...
Freddie Highmore, shout out to my man going full mode.
Y'all ever
see Tropical Thunder?
Full send.
Yeah. I actually just started watching The Good Doctor this week because of all the clips people shared on Twitter, and I gotta say, not that bad a show.
It is. I'm invested. Like, my viewing partner, we are very invested in this. We are. It's. I mean, whatever you could say, it's just like high. I mean, it's made by David Shore, so it's House.
It's House. And I said it's like. The Good Doctor is House, except like instead of your doctor being a sardonic drug addict, he has Rain Man level autism.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I was talking to one of my friends, and he was curious about like the formula for network TV, which is usually you take a public servant, you give them a disability of some sort, and
you got to give them adversity.
The third the third fucking thing is in the ingredient list, but you know, you can plug that into ChatGPT and you get a
great
lineup of titles, like about what did he do the other day? He
the bad firefighter.
Yeah, or
and he has a really wicked peanut allergy that challenges him.
What did he say? He said a public defender who has dyslexia.
That's good.
Overcomes it.
That's so good.
Yeah, good doctor, great viewing. I'm invested at some point because the clips really don't do it justice because you're kind of like this. There's something kind of very, and I know everybody always like talks about this movie in like such a kind of like detached way and it has a cult following now, but there's something kind of like Southland Tales about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the performance, you know, because it really kind of reminds me of like The Rock, like doing, you know, in that particular movie. But when you actually watch it, you start rooting for your guy.
Oh yeah. I want all my doctors to have autism, you know?
Oh, I mean, they all do to agree. To a degree. They have to. I mean, yeah. You know.
Pimps don't kill themselves. How could this person commit suicide? He was a pimp.
Oh, yeah, good doctor.
It's a little Southland Tales reference for you.
Oh, yeah. It took me a minute
there. Teen horniness is not a crime.
Yeah.
Teen horniness is not a crime.
All right, so is that your dude of the week?
Good, yeah, doctor. Yeah, or Dr. Han. I'm not. We Dr. haven't seen Han. Dr. Han yet.
What does he show up?
I have no idea, but it seems like he's, you know, like, yeah. So he's my TK dude of the week.
Yeah,
because it seems like he's got some good rejoinders to the good doctor himself.
That Dr. Melinda's. You know, when is he gonna give the good doctor some respect?
I agree.
All right, closing this off. Last segment. These are just we call this the Dewey Do's and Don'ts. Just things that we're either doing or we're not. You know, so
I like that.
Or you know, just again to round it all off. You know, we've created our own little our own, you know, manosphere empire. What are we telling the fellas to do? What are we telling them not to do?
Man. We're telling them not to go to Basement, the club.
What happened at Basement? What happened?
Catherine and I, we were with our friends Chris and Molly. We wanted to have they're about to move, and we wanted to have like a fun like club night with them because they're, you know, like they go to DJ sets and like they're, you know, like they're
yeah,
very cool.
they go
they're very cool yeah, and yeah. we wanted to go to Basement this weekend because there was
last weekend.
And because there was like, you know, a DJ who they were a fan of, and we were like, okay. And I was like all stressed about what to wear or whatever. And then we get there.
And I was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. Don't be stressed about what to wear.
I mean, long story short, we were like swiftly and immediately denied entrance into this club just for being...
Arbitrarily.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's because I'm an Uggo. They actually stamped my hand. They stamped my hand and said Uggo. And they sent me to the reject dump. So yeah, actually, that's why I beef.
Don't go to Basement.
I've got huge beef with Basement.
Yeah,
and they can make this up to us by letting us in.
Yeah.
What else are we doing doing? I'm not tweeting about Succession. That's a played out. That's a very played out kind of post.
I've been hating on Succession for a while. Not to suck my own dick.
Yeah.
But the thing that just drives me insane about shows like that. Recently, or any kind of like trying to show like shows of the moment,
yeah,
is everyone's on their goddamn phone.
I know, and it's not aesthetic. It looks bad.
Get them off the phone.
Yeah,
get them off the phone. But I feel like that show lost its juice a long time ago.
I think it doesn't really know what it's doing
you're
anymore.
Still following it, you've lost the plot.
Yeah,
but
well, I was gonna say as we're recording this right now, I am. I'm downloading the new Zelda game, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Right.
So I will be doing that. And not doing talking to friends, family, or you know, maintaining social obligations or responsibilities. So that's what I'm going to be doing this upcoming week.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Well, stick. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Anything you guys want to plug?
So my side gig is for a Substack called Discourse Blog, Lefty Politics. So subscribe to Discourse Blog, fully independent, if that's your vibe.
And yeah, like for me, it's Movie Mindset and Chapo. You can get all the Movie Mindset episodes just for subscribing to Chapo. So it's like, you know, one price for all for that and Hell on Earth. It's value, folks.
It costs six times more than a Chapo subscription to not get into Basement.
All right, everybody. Until next time. Goodbye.